A Civil War soldier's ghost makes an appearance at a rather unopportune time. Guys, think stage fright. It is a creepy story, an amazing story. If you're into Civil War history and ghosts, this is a story you don't want to miss. It's on a recent episode of Real Ghost Stories Online EPP bonus episode called Classified Paranormal, if you want to check it out.
You won't forget this one.
When you sign up to be an EPP at Real Ghost Stories Online, you get access to more than 50 EPP bonus episodes, exclusive video content, and more. It's only $5 a month, and it keeps our show on the air. If you enjoy this show, consider supporting it and becoming an EPP, extra podcast person, at realghoststoriesonline.com now.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, be careful what you wish for or you just may get a demon. After a devastating divorce, a woman finds that her new home comes with spirits that were once in her shoes. A listener shares a story of two relatives who were never able to communicate in life, getting to know each other in death. And can you become immune to the haunting in your home? A listener describes how the disturbing became normal. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brewski, joining you once again.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Looks like Pound Puppy is comfortable down there.
Yeah, he's happy.
He looks like he's passed out and sleep laying on his back. There you go. He is very comfortable showing himself to the world.
Yes.
It's a good thing we don't have like live streaming in here sometimes on video, because that might constitute animal pornography at some point.
At some point it could, yes.
855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And I just like to make a quick little observation. It doesn't really have to do with ghosts, but I'd like to say that, because I hear this a lot on voicemails.
Okay.
And I see it sometimes like at the bottom of emails, you know, people have their little quotes and everything. If you begin your voicemail or you answer the phone at your business with, "It's a great day at," insert, instead of just, "Hi," you know, name of company or whatever. Just if you begin anything with, "It's a great day at," chances are probably not such a great day.
What makes you say that?
Just because anytime I've ever heard anyone use that as the intro to something, it's not usually said in the most sincere of tones, and when you get to know them, they're not usually having the greatest of days. It's just, and now that's probably not the case with everybody, but it seems like a forced thing.
You've never worked someplace where you've had to say that, have you?
No, I have not. I had that. Have you worked at a place where you had to say that?
Yes, I worked retail, a women's clothing line, and every time we answered the phone, we had to say, "It's a great day at blank."
It reeks of false sincerity.
Completely.
And I hate false sincerity.
Yeah.
When you have to like tell someone to say something nice to someone and they have to do it to every single person they see in the exact same manner, that's going to be a major turnoff. And it just baffles me that people still to this day think that that is a good idea.
I don't understand the point of it.
It's just this thought of, well, if you greet somebody like, I mean, you can just say, "Hey, be nice to the person. Be helpful." You don't have to say the staple line.
When did anybody ever say, "Oh, they answered, it's a great day. I think I should go there right now."
It changes everything. I'm now going to do business with you.
Yeah.
Because you're having, it's a great day there. Over here, it's a horrible day. It's the worst day ever. But because you're having a great day, it means that it's just an awesome day. Where is that coming from?
I don't know. That was not me.
I have the... I was watching news on this computer here before, but that is turned off. Let me check my computer over here.
What were you watching?
Just CNN stuff.
Oh.
And I don't see any audio open over on this computer.
That was not me, I swear.
Let's go back and listen to the audio and see if it's there.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, that magical pause we just did there, that was actually, we talked for about 2 minutes and listened back to, there was that weird voice that female.
It sounded kind of like me, but it wasn't me.
It sounded like an ad.
Okay.
That's where it didn't sound like a normal EVP. It sounded like an ad was playing over something, and I checked all. There's no windows open on this computer that have audio, nor could it record from that one. And I don't have any windows open over here that have ads on. I don't know. Maybe we got an EVP or something.
I don't think so.
I'm going to guess it was just a computer glitch of some sort, and there was some audio that was being fed where it shouldn't have been, but I don't know.
Yeah.
There you go.
There you go.
That was the paranormal telling us to go talk more about paranormal and not great days.
Okay.
There was a sign from the dead. So let's do just that. Let's put some spooky music on, and hopefully we won't hear any random voices that we can't narrow down where they're coming from. And we'll share some ghost stories. The phone number, of course, 855-853-4802. Or, of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. All right. First story today comes to us from Cyril. Last year, I was into trying to contact the demon realm. Is that something you hear someone say? What would you do last year? I was kind of trying to contact the demon realm.
Yeah.
Like, no.
I don't know.
I was in direct sales and contacting the demon realm. Or at least an individual demon. I had gone out and bought a Ouija board so I may communicate with one. I lit incense and placed a mirror in front of the board, focused my energy trying to come in contact with a demonic entity. Waited 2 minutes using the board, and then the planchette slowly started moving. My hands felt extremely cold on the outside, but somehow hot on the outside. Just a heads up, I never used the board with anyone else because my friends were all too afraid. So I started asking it some questions like, who are you and where do you come from? It seemed to answer honestly, so I had no reason to suspect otherwise. Then to take it to the test, I asked it what my mother's maiden name was, and it answered correctly. It was kind of weird, but I kept going. I continued to ask it questions. About 30 minutes went by, so I decided to say goodbye. I had absolutely no trouble with it. The next day, I told my friends the story of what happened, and they all called bullshit. I told them to come over and see for themselves if they weren't too scared. Reluctant at first, I persuaded my best friend to come. He wasn't that religious, but I still advised her to be careful. I set up the board and we got ready to go. Called out a demon from the other side, same as last time, but immediately after I said that, we both felt a very cold presence, I guess. She asked if I was just fucking with her about this. The planchette took about 3 seconds and then slid to no. She got really freaked out and yanked her hands off the board. I said goodbye because that's what you're supposed to do. She just stood there, looking freakishly at me. I asked, are you okay? She just stood blankly staring at me, so I started to get freaked out too. I thought that the best thing to do was to get her outside. I tried to push her, but she felt like a goddamn wall. Her skin was cold, really cold. I started shaking her to get her to snap the hell out of it, but she couldn't budge. I then asked her what her name was, and in an instant, her pupils dilated and quickly looked into my eyes and without missing a beat said, "The devil." But it wasn't her voice, it was like this messed up voice. It sounded completely supernatural. She then fell into my arms and started crying. I quickly took her outside where she told me all she saw was darkness. She barely ever saw me again after that. That's why I always tell people never use the Ouija board unless they know exactly what they're doing.
I think when she asked if it was just effing with her,
mm-hmm.
that it seized the opportunity to just go ahead and say, watch this shit.
Sure.
And I think that if you're going to do anything with the spiritual world, to not provoke it.
But why? Why is provoking it a bad idea? That's a setup question.
So that you don't get possessed.
Okay.
Yeah. Or attacked or something like that.
Do, 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 do. The more you know. That's the... Remember okay. that?
No.
It used to be on like NBC.
Okay.
It was like little like snippets of... It's not a good idea to eat raw chicken. It could contain salmonella and kill you. It'd be like Rob Lowe saying that.
Okay.
And then it was like, the more you know. And it wasn't that obvious of shit, but it was pretty obvious shit. It's like, don't play with the Ouija board. You could become possessed.
Okay.
Do-do-do-do. So, anyhow, interesting story.
Yeah.
And all the more things to think about as we get to the time period of everyone going, hey, Ouija boards. Hey, speaking of Ouija boards, I saw somebody sent us on Facebook. They posted it on our wall. Let me pull it back up here. It's one of those things where the store probably inadvertently didn't realize what they were putting up on their sign. And it's clearly, from what I can tell, a Target sign. And every once in a while at Target, you'll have something where it's like, when you buy this product, you get that product free.
Sure.
And sometimes it's just kind of fairly random things. Like sometimes it's video games and then get a free bag of Doritos or something
well,
of that.
That goes
nature.
Together, though.
Sure, sure. So I'm guessing this was in the game aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a free thing of Toll House cookies.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, okay, you know, family's playing game, make some cookies. And okay, that kind of connects. It seems like it could be a reasonable free thing, but they all the signs have the staple free cookie dough with purchase, and then it states what the purchase is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and this is where every card gets, you know, developed, and I'm sure the whole down the line it's like free cookie dough with the purchase of Mousetrap and Operation and everything else. Well, then there's the one where it's free cookie dough with the purchase of the Ouija board game.
That's funny.
$19.99 as advertised.
Wow.
And it's a little thing of Toll House cookies right next to it. And it just looks so like, wow, that's interesting. The person who posted it there said for Jenny.
Oh, thank you.
Saying that you would certainly appreciate that. And then somebody posted a picture of the Red Lobster biscuits for me. Nothing to do with the Ouija board, but just as for Tony.
Just as, hey, food porn.
Hey, by the way, Red Lobster biscuits. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is the phone number. I'm more incentive to get a Ouija board now.
No.
Get some free cookies.
I will make you all the cookies you want if we don't get one.
Okay. T.I. writes in, I've only recently learned of your podcast from my daughter and have been binge listening as I travel this summer. I love it. In a couple of episodes, you talked about the Tate Hospital. I've had several experiences there, but the following is probably the most compelling. My very dear friend was going through a divorce after seemingly happy 35-year marriage. Her husband had found somehow or someone new and decided to end the marriage. My friend was forced to leave the home she had helped build to start a new life. Since she worked in the Traverse City area, she decided to look there. As the divorce was pending and property had not been divided, she needed something furnished. Her realtor found a cute little one-bedroom that was furnished and within her price range, only a few minutes walk from her work. My friend asked me along to check it out for her. I've been able to see and hear spirits my whole life and have been asked many times to read friends' new homes or to help with strange energies or hauntings, and I do. I told her that there were indeed many ghosts there. She said that she knew that, but wanted to know if there was anything malevolent, harmful, or dangerous. So I agreed. The moment we entered the building, I sensed many layers of spirits. I could hear voices on top of voices, some in hushed tones and others more forceful. They watched as we took the elevator to the upper floor. The renovations were beautiful. Had a large open space bordered by doors to several apartments, some small, others palatial. It was incredibly noisy, spirit noisy. My friend's apartment waited at the end of the hall. It was tiny but lovely, with bright colors bathed in sunlight from the large dormed windows looking out over the grounds in Traverse City. Even the furnishings said welcome and peace. From the red sofa just under the windows to the large bed in the only separate space, it seemed perfect. She fell in love with the place immediately. As I sat looking around, trying to separate the many spirit voices, the strongest presence was a friend of ours who had recently passed. She was visible and kept telling me, I've got her. I felt nothing dangerous or menacing, so I told my friend that if she was comfortable sharing her space with the spirits, there was nothing that was looking to harm her. I believe this was true. My friend settled in, enjoying the social life and the great culture of Traverse City. She loved her 10-minute walk to work and having cocktails with her friends after. She loved sitting on her red sofa in the sunlight reading. These things were looking up, until they weren't. Gradually, she began to fall into a deep depression. I know that she was going through a divorce and it was not a walk in the park, but this appeared different. We spoke frequently, and she told me how she was having trouble sleeping. It started with the sound of keys being dragged across the kitchen floor. First, she assumed it was a neighbor that had come in late, until it happened again the next night and the next. Anyways, between 3 and 5 a.m., she'd wake abruptly, startled out of any semblance of sleepiness, then wide awake, listening. She'd try to close her eyes and get back to sleep. Then the keys would commence. She took to keeping her keys on the bedside table, but This did not stop the sound. She would listen, looking at the only sets of keys in the apartment, inches away from her bed. Then things grew more difficult to ignore. One night, she awoke abruptly. When she opened her eyes, she said there were dozens of wispy, whitish figures floating just above her bed. They did not make a sound, but floated there, looking at her. She turned on the light, and they disappeared. She went to her jewelry box and took out her mother's wedding ring, asking her deceased mother for protection and guidance. Shortly after this, I paid her a visit. She sat with her feet tucked up on the red sofa in the waning sunlight of the evening. I sat in a chair near the door. I could feel many spirits just outside the door over my right shoulder. When I closed my eyes, I could see them standing there. They did not look menacing or urgent. They were not trying to get my attention. They looked directly at my friend, ignoring me. This alarmed me. The only other time I saw this happen was when my daughter and I entered a haunted house for a reading and cleansing. My daughter is as tuned in or more than I, and she held the supplies. The entity focused on her completely. This was the second time about a dozen or more spirits looked at my friend with what I can only describe as empathy and sorrow. My friend told me about her visions at night. She told me that she was so sad, like she felt she had been sent away. This alarmed me even more. When the hospital was built, it was part of a movement and philosophy of treating mental exhaustion with serenity in a pastoral setting. They believed that beautiful surroundings with lots of light and no stressful activities would cure folks. Aside from mind-numbing boredom, residents were treated well. At this time, there was not torturous or cruel treatments. Those would come later. However, it was also true that husbands could and did commit their wives to get rid of them in order to look for, shall we say, their own greener pastures. Women were sent away in droves. They often got more deeply depressed as they were isolated from their children and families for the mere reason that they were in the way. These women, it seems, clearly never left. I told my friend she needed to find a new path to live, and right away. At this point, the spirits then focused on me and then back at her. I heard a voice clearly say, "It's okay, dear. You'll be fine. We will all be fine." I turned to them and told them they should get away too. But even if they didn't, my friend was not staying there. I told my friend to spend as little time as possible in her apartment while looking for another place. Luckily, a mutual friend knew of a condo for lease in her building on the other side of town. In only a few weeks, my friend was free and clear of that building. As if by magic, her depression ceased and her outlook became positive again. This is one of the lucky women who left that hospital intact with a full life ahead of her. My heart breaks for the countless and nameless women still there, sent away by their husbands, abandoned in life and love. I'm not afraid of that place. I feel saddened and connected to them and their pain. I have no patience for thrill-seeking ghost hunters using these poor, lost souls for their amusement. These women are only one level of spirits inhabiting that hospital. There are many more less conscious and more troubled from the life of pain and cruelty. I have some of their stories as well, but that is for another time. Thanks again for the podcast. I look forward to future episodes.
You know, she's actually exactly right. That happened quite often. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they may have not been depressed when they went into the hospital, but mm-hmm. things took a toll and they slowly got there.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not at all surprised that that's how she started to feel, being the friend started to feel, living in that former place because of the spirits around her.
Yeah, I mean, it's essentially she's picking up on the oppression and the feelings that they had
mm-hmm.
when they were living there. And it's unfortunately still sounds like a lot of them are still there. Even in death.
Yeah.
So, very interesting story. Thank you for contributing that. Our phone number here, 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Jason writes in, "Hello, Tony and Jenny. My name's Jason. I'm from Michigan. Recently started listening to your show, and I really enjoy it. Gets me through my long drive to and from work. Listen to many of the episodes on iTunes and hope to become an EPP soon. I'll start by saying that although I'm very skeptical in nature, I find myself very interested in hearing stories from others. One of the questions I always eventually ask people I meet is, do you believe in ghosts? I have never had anything that I would deem paranormal happen to me myself. I've seen some things that I cannot really explain. One incident in particular, but I'll save that for another day. The story I'd like to share was actually told to me by my mother, and it's about my grandmother. For some background, my grandmother was from Germany, and my grandfather is from Puerto Rico. An odd combination, but it happens. My grandmother did not speak Spanish at all, so she was never really able to communicate with her mother-in-law very much. It was something that bothered her for a long time. Now, for the story. The night that my great-grandmother passed away, my grandmother had dreamed that she had awoken in the middle of the night hearing sounds downstairs. The dream was extremely vivid, she had told my mother. In fact, it was the most vivid dream that she had actually ever had. In the dream, she walked downstairs to figure out what noises were, and when she looked in the kitchen, her mother-in-law was making tea. Somehow in the dream, she could understand her without any complication. She had dreamt that she and her mother-in-law sat down at their kitchen table and had tea and got to know each other. They talked for what seemed like hours. They talked about their favorite things, and my grandmother told her that her favorite flower was a bird of paradise. They laughed and shared stories, and their language barrier between them never came up. The next morning, my grandmother woke up and walked downstairs. When she went into the kitchen to make herself some tea, she noticed that the tea kettle was on the table. There were two cups next to the tea kettle, and in the vase on the table, there was a bird of paradise flower. My grandfather swore he had no idea where it came from. Thank you so much for reading my story. I'd like to know what you think about it, and thank you for doing what you do.
I like that story. That's just a nice little good ghostly story.
And one you walk away from going, how the hell did that happen?
Yeah, but
yeah,
things happen.
That's kind of, yeah. That's all you can really answer it with is things happen.
That's true.
It's true. I mean, it's an unexplainable. It's not probably a demon or anything like that. It's just one of those, okay, These sort of things do indeed happen.
And they're not all bad.
No, they're not all bad. Interesting, interesting story. Thank you for sharing that one with us. Another letter. This story takes place in 1982 in a town on the prairies of central Minnesota. It was a Saturday morning, and I and my younger brother and sister were watching the Smurfs or some similar cartoon. Our parents were still asleep. I went to the kitchen to make myself a bowl of cereal. And as I was doing so, I heard the distinct sound of footsteps on the basement stairs leading into the kitchen. Curious as to who it was, I promptly went to the doorway down to the basement, only to realize there was no one there. Still, the sound of the footsteps persisted, slowly and loudly, as if someone were deliberately stomping their way up or down them. Fascinated by this development, I called to my 6-year-old brother and 4-year-old sister to come and witness what was happening, which they did. All three of us stood at the top of the stairs and briefly marveled over what seemed to be some invisible entity on the basement stairs. At 9 a.m. on Saturday morning, this phenomenon persisted for longer than it would have taken to actually go all the way up or down the stairs. There were only like 20 stairs on the staircase. My siblings grew bored with it and were lured back to the living room by cartoons, and eventually I too left to go inform our parents to what was going on, but they were not interested in being woken up yet and did not take my complaint seriously. Only later in the day did my father and I go to inspect the staircase, but everything appeared normal. It's one of those fun childhood memories that you'll look back on and go, I remember those great Saturday mornings.
Oh, yeah.
Bowls of cereal, cartoons, the promise of a fun and exciting new day as a child, and the demons walking up and down the stairwell.
Well,
they're demons, but
that's what my parents were if I woke them up too early, so yeah.
Anything's possible.
Yes.
Anything is possible. Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our number. Owlin?
I think so.
That's an interesting name.
It's neat.
I've never seen that before. Owlin. Okay, cool. Throughout my lifetime, I've had tons of paranormal experiences, but this one stands out to me the most. This experience took place about 3.5 years ago in a small town of Durant, Oklahoma. It started out small. Things always went wrong. Our water tank busted. The plumbing went out for months on end, so we suffered through really bad financial problems, and over the house just gave off, overall, the house gave off just a bad vibe. Gradually, things began to get worse. My family and I always seemed to be in a terrible mood in the home, and my mother found out she had Parkinson's. My dad threw out his back, and I was in a bad car wreck that prevented me from working. And the paranormal comes to play. I'd see dark shadows darting across my vision. My daughter would wake up with scratches and bruises on her body, and on occasion, we could hear voices and growls. This got to the point where I would take my daughter out as much as possible so she wouldn't feel so depressed and gloomy. After about a year of this going on, we decided to bring in a medium. She told us that the house had been built on some sort of Indian burial ground, sacred land. She advised we evacuate as soon as possible for the safety of my family. I don't really remember why we stayed there anyway. One Saturday evening, my parents were visiting my family, and my daughter was at a sleepover with her close friends. I was home alone. I was upstairs finishing laundry when I heard a loud boom downstairs. As I was walking, I felt two hands push hard on my shoulders. That broke my wrists, and that's what got my family and me to move out. It was one of the creepiest and most terrifying experiences I've ever had. Who knows? Maybe I'll post more of my stories here.
You know, I wonder how often... It sounds like the parents were having some trouble. I wonder how often couples have problems because of hauntings.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't realize that that's the reason that they're having a problem.
Just like the oppressive force mm-hmm. and energy that's going on in their home.
Yeah.
I could see that being a fairly common thing.
Yeah.
And something that no one's really going to recognize for the most part. And mm-hmm. there's no therapist that's going to go, well, have you considered your house might have a demon?
But you know, they were lucky in this story that if she was pushed down the stairs by a ghost, mm-hmm. that she only broke her wrist.
Yeah. That's a scary story when you actually start getting physically injured by mm-hmm. the paranormal. And it's not that the ghost came up and snapped her wrist just with their own force. It was, you know, using the surroundings to do the deed of what it wanted to do.
Yeah.
That's the scary part when it comes to those sort of things. Interesting story. Thank you for running in and sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Veronica writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. Love your show. I'm a frequent listener, and I was debating whether to contact you guys or not to tell you one of my many stories. I wanted to share this one specific one because I feel as if this one really was one of the scariest experiences I've ever had. I recently listened to Night Terrors and have something very similar to it. I've had sleep paralysis since I started high school. As a freshman, I had a very tough time trying to meet new friends, and I would get bullied almost every day. I can definitely say that sleep paralysis is stress-related. I remember I would cry every night before sleep, and I'd have a dream. One night, I remember it was around summertime, and school was almost over, and all I could remember is having a shitty day, shitty summer, etc. But that night, I was lying in bed on my back, and I saw a very bright yellow light beaming strongly through my door. I always keep my door closed at night, but it was wide open. It seemed as if there wasn't a door, only the frame. So I was able to look with the corner of my eye and see what it was. I was still. I couldn't move, cry, or scream. All I felt was the sweat drip down the side of my face since it was hot as hell in my room for some reason. I felt the room getting smaller, and I felt everything was closing in on me. When I tried looking around, I saw my room was shrinking. I tried looking away and imagined something else, but my eyes wandered to the strong yellow light. After a few seconds, a faint silhouette started to appear. It became clearer and clearer as every second went by. Before I knew, it was all I saw. It was a short old lady in her late 70s, with very large, puffy gray-black hair. Not combed, just straight up, nasty hair in a black dress with black shoes. She started to become brighter as the yellow light behind her started to disappear. Her face was very pale and almost white and no expression, not even a pair of eyes. No mouth and no nose. She was floating in my door frame, and she lifted her arms and she glided towards my bed. She came within 4 seconds. She stood over my bed until she bent over almost 3 to 4 centimeters away from my face. She took her hands and stretched her fingers out. Her fingers are very bony and her nails freakishly long and yellow. She took her nails and started to scratch her eyes out until there were only 2 black holes, and slowly the holes started to drip black paint or blood down her face. With her left hand, she took her pointer finger and carved out a smiley face. She put down her hands and the smiley face tore open, and all I could hear was a piercing scream, laugh, and then cry. She jumped on my body and started to jump on my stomach, and I was paralyzed. I couldn't move at all, and I felt it was the worst stomach pain ever. Then at one point, she tried to lie down and cuddle me. I was so terrified, I felt like crying, but I couldn't. I just stared at her because I couldn't even close my eyes. She cuddled me and started to hum, and her voice got deeper and deeper. I felt like I was sinking in my bed with her on top of me, and I felt as if she was going to take me under the floor and drag me to hell this way. I felt like I was getting choked by her weight on me. Her hands wrapped around my neck. Felt like I was going to die in my sleep. I knew I was sleeping, but I couldn't control anything. Everything else was controlling me. I felt weak and hurt by her. Her weight started choking me more and more as she lay on top of me. I felt myself shaking in the bed. I felt like I was touching the floor already. But after a few seconds, her head bobbed up and she was screaming, this horrendous scream. It didn't even sound human. It sounded like an animal. Then I remember I was able to close my eyes. When I opened up my eyes, I woke up to my screaming and my room was a mess. The windows opened all the way. Pillows and sheets all over the ground. It was like a tornado just went through my room. I was able to get up. When I did, I was very dizzy. I was so weak. Went to my bathroom and looked at myself in the mirror. I saw 3 scratches or burns around my neck on both sides of my chest. It was blood red. I washed my face with ice cold water, went to my room and looked at my clock, and it was 3 a.m. I didn't sleep all night that time. After that experience, I never saw her again or could find any info about her. I've heard that sleep paralysis is out there, but I have sleep paralysis very rarely. Nothing can ever compare how the feeling was having to see that creature and being attacked by it. Hope you guys enjoyed my experience, and hopefully someone will have some answers or maybe a similar story. Thank you so much.
I think that's probably the most vivid account of the old hag syndrome that we've had. That goes along with sleep paralysis.
I'd say it's not only the most vivid, but it's one of them where you wake up and there's a lot more tied to it.
Yes.
It's not just, I had this experience, I woke up and everything was peaceful and fine.
No.
No. I mean, that's a story of sleep paralysis where you can actually tie in, okay, there's something more to this than just your mind.
Sure.
You know, the way all those things moved around. I mean, I suppose you could then start arguing, well, is there like telekinesis involved here? Did they move all these things with what was going on in their mind? I think the more, logical for an illogical situation is there was something very dark that was visiting that individual.
Yeah.
And wanted to make their mark known that it wasn't just a dream.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
That was a very horrible encounter. So thank you for sharing that story with us. The phone number here is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Trish writes in 1993, a pizza was delivered to my friend's home in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. The handsome pizza delivery man asked if I wanted to go to a party at a home he shared with his brothers when he was done with his shift. Being that this man was attractive and I was single, I said yes. A few hours later, my girlfriend and I made the trip to the neighboring town. Upon entering, I didn't notice anything different until I walked into the middle bedroom to lay down a coat. Here, the energy was so incredibly dense, I became immediately uneasy. I chalked it up to my anxiety about being in a strange home with people I've never met. Oh, by the way, I was sober when I entered the party and only had 3 beers throughout the night. The night progressed without any difficulties, aside from the middle room causing the feeling of dread. The pizza man and I hit it off, and thus I began spending long lengths of time in this home, of which he had inherited from his parents. In the beginning, minor strange things began to occur. For instance, he'd be watching TV and the lights upstairs in the kitchen and the dining room would turn on and off without anyone having touched them. I asked my boyfriend, the pizza man, what was happening. Did he have problems with his electricity? He stated no. He then informed me that while he was growing up, his mother and father would invite friends over to play with Ouija boards and have seances. During this time, he stated it was not uncommon for him to be watching and observe the object fly across the room without someone having thrown it. While the lights turning off and on was alarming in the beginning, it soon became the norm. Since myself and he were never hurt, I almost became immune to it. And the TV and radio began to turn off and on by itself, and the radio would move from the low to the high end of the broadband. This was when the numbers were not digital. Instead, you rolled the knob to the direction you wanted the needle to move to get the station you wanted to. When the needle would move several inches on the broadband display, I'd never observed the knob itself moving. The TV would turn on and off while we were sitting there watching a channel. Something appeared to want to watch another show. This was annoying, however, since we were never injured in any way. What was shocking in the beginning also became the norm. In addition to the radio and TV changing channels and the lights turning on and off, kitchen cabinets, kitchen drawers would open. 1 minute we'd be in the kitchen getting something to eat, go into the living room, return several minutes later, and not one, not two, but upwards of five or six cabinet doors would be open. The house is not built on a tilt, and we did not get earthquakes, and he did not like open windows, choosing instead to have the air conditioner running. Did not have any children, and thus we were unable to attribute these occurrences to any non-paranormal being. The most frightening thing occurred one day while I was studying in the dining room. I was in graduate school. It was approximately 3 p.m. No one else was in the home. The windows were closed. The closest neighbor was a five-minute walk, and my boyfriend was at work. All of a sudden, I hear a conversation between what appeared to be a man and a woman. It sounded like one would experience if they heard a TV in the adjoining room. They could hear the conversation, understand the inflection and mood. However, deciphering the context of the conversation would be very difficult. This muffled conversation between the man and the woman, I assumed, was either the TV or the radio that had turned itself on in the adjoining room. I finished reading my paragraph and walked into the living room and turned off the source of the noise. Upon entering the living room, I quickly looked and saw the conversation was not coming from the TV or the radio. It was many feet from anything that could have made noise. It was coming from the immediate center of the room where nothing besides a chair stood. Two large dogs were staring at the source of the conversation. It's my belief that since so many strange things happened, the dogs also became immune. The abnormal became normal. If I had the guts, I would have walked up within inches and pointed to where the conversation was taking place. Instead of walking and pointing to the conversation, I said, "What the fuck?" Immediately, the dog started barking and the conversation ended. Needless to say, I was pretty frightened by this. I want to end this by saying that I have my master's in counseling and an MNRN working in psychiatric nursing. I understand what it is for and what it is for someone to have delusions or hallucinations. I was not having either. The only thing that I can chalk these occurrences up to is the paranormal. Let me show. Please keep up the great work.
I wonder if it was her boyfriend's parents. Since she heard a male and a female talking, and it said that he had inherited the house, so I'm assuming that they were passed on, but that may not be the case.
Sure.
But with changing the radio and changing the TV and the lights, you know, kind of like, we're still in charge. It's still our house.
And they're just kind of doing their normal thing.
Mm-hmm. Flicking the lights.
Having their routine, even though they're dead. I don't know. I think that'd be very, that's a very logical answer.
Yeah.
For any logical situation.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed, you know, unthreatening or not threatening or...
Non-threatening.
Non-threatening. That would be the correct word.
I think so.
Funnier.
Right.
It's not a word, right?
No.
That's the one that's not the word. I think you might be onto something. It'd be interesting to see what the, what he thought.
Yeah, that is interesting. She didn't really touch on that much.
What his impression of it was, or if he was even open to admitting... Mm-hmm. That this was a ghostly phenomenon. Thank you for sharing the story. Let's go over to Elizabeth. Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name's Elizabeth. I've only had a few potentially paranormal experiences in my life, which is good because although I'm addicted to your show and other paranormal podcasts and TV shows, I have to force myself to stop listening after dark, so I'm not too scared to go to sleep. The experience I'd like to tell you today took place in September or October last year at my college. People say that the ghost of a dead student haunts the third floor of the residence hall I lived in last year, but I bet most colleges have a similar urban legend, so I don't know how true the story is. I'll call it Resident Hall, Hall S Hall, and it was my first year living there. My friend told me about a year before about walking into the laundry room late at night and experiencing the heavy door of the creepy bathroom down there slam shut as she walked past it. It may have been a draft, but I still refuse to look into the creepy bathroom when I go do laundry. Anyway, my experience took place in the parlor on the first floor. The room is the size of almost half of the floor, so it's a pretty large room. One of the walls has the main doors on the same wall. A couple of feet to the left is a pair of glass doors that leads into a small study room. On this night, the doors were either closed or open just a crack, but I don't remember which. I was doing homework and listening to music in the main parlor around 11 p.m. The table I was sitting at was in the back of the room, just to the right of the main doors if you're facing into the room. I was the only person in the room, and all of a sudden the television across the room turned on full blast. I jumped, startled. I looked up, looked around the room, thinking that maybe I hadn't noticed someone come in. When I saw no one, I walked over to the couches that sat in front of the TV to see if someone was there, and I couldn't see them from where I was sitting. There was no one there, either, and the only remote I could see was on the table next to the TV. I turned around and two girls walked out of the study room. I jumped pretty violently again before I realized they were living people. I thought, oh, there must be another remote, and they turned it on. And they said, oh, there's someone out here. They looked at me and asked if I had turned the TV on. I told them no. I've been doing homework across the room. We looked at each other, freaked out, since clearly none of us had done it, and the TV continued to blast a random soccer game. When the girls retreated back to the study room, full of nervous energy, I turned off the TV and decided it was time for bed. I got the hell out of the room as fast as I could. I only have two possible explanations for this occurrence, other than that it might be a ghost. I know there is a universal remote app that you can get for iPhone. Maybe someone in the building had managed to sync the TV with the app and was playing a joke. I don't remember seeing anyone in the hallway outside of the room, but I wasn't looking, so it's possible. I also don't know the range of the app or how easy it is to sync. If you have any other ideas, I'd be happy to hear them. Thanks for letting me share this with you, and I hope it wasn't too boring.
I appreciate that she included all these potential things that could be that.
Sure.
I mean, a lot of residence halls on college campuses have their fair share of ghosts and a lot of weird energy going on there, so things just tend to linger.
Mm-hmm.
So I could see it being either one, but to throw in those possible explanations it's good.
Considering all options,
mm-hmm.
I remember back, I was about 17, 18, and I had a friend who was in college in Oshkosh at the UW Oshkosh there. And there at the time, computer security, not all that great. Okay. It's, you know, internet is, you know, new. This is the age of Napster. At that point in time was the popular thing. And he was very smart on computers and he had this program. Yes, we used to call things programs, not apps.
Yeah.
And it was a program that he could put onto like a public computer, like in the computer lab. Mm-hmm. I believe even in the dorms that he was staying in, there were some public computers like in one of the shared rooms that could be used as well. And he put forgot what the program was called, but it was a program that allowed a person on a remote computer to access that computer. And I mean, this is a simple like go to PC type thing now.
Yeah.
But wouldn't necessarily work on a public machine because they're locked down, mm-hmm. unless you know how to log into it and get that installed. But at the time, this was a pretty new idea.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he would do this, and there was things you could do. It was strictly made to screw with people. And what you could do, you could open up the CD tray by itself.
Uh-huh.
You could then start typing messages. You could basically take over the desktop of the person on the computer, like you go to PC.
Mm-hmm.
Way before that was in existence, and it freaked people out.
Oh, I bet.
I remember one time doing this with him, and he had it like on his laptop, and he was plugged into the internet,
mm-hmm.
where you would take and physically plug your computer in before Wi-Fi, and he would just sit there and wait till someone gets on the computer, preferably not the one that the person is using, but like the one next to them.
Uh-huh.
And then just start like opening the CD tray,
uh-huh.
from across the room and watch the person like, what the hell? And then they look at the computer screen and then messages start popping up.
Wow.
I wonder how many people have a ghost story like that.
That's funny.
And it's someone just doing that.
Uh-huh. That's funny.
I could very much see that happening if they're unaware of what that was at the time. As I talk about it, it's like, well, that's pretty much go to PC or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Countless programs are like that out there. At the time, though, like 1997, 98, this was like, oh, my God. This is amazing. So anyway, interesting story. Anonymous writes in, hello, I love this podcast. It's really well done and fascinating. Anyways, I'm 17 from upstate New York, which is where the story takes place. Setting is in my house. I was in fifth grade and was getting ready for bed. My dad and I got in an argument, and I really was upset and went to bed crying. We're trying to go to bed, but couldn't fall asleep. I heard the rest of my family go to bed, and I just lied there. I have a bit of strange quirk, and that is I can't sleep if my bedroom door is closed. So, as normal, my door is closed all the way, but suddenly it opened. I stared at it and saw a large, dark figure in the doorway. It was humanoid, but didn't look like your standard silhouette. I have really bad vision, so nothing really looks normal to me. I stared at it, blinked a bit, but it didn't move. I asked Dad, since I thought maybe it was my dad, saying I'm sorry or checking up on me. No answer. That's when I noticed that it had no feet and was way too big to be my dad. I kept staring at it and reached my hand out to turn on my bedside lamp. As soon as the light turned on, the figure disappeared and my door was wide open. I felt a bit scared and got up to close my door. I went back to my bed, turned off my lamp, and hid under the covers till I fell asleep. To this day, I can't really figure out what it was. Thank you, and keep doing this podcast. It's great. When I get some more money, I plan on becoming an EPP.
It sounds like a shadow person to me, and probably taking the opportunity to show itself because that person was pretty upset.
Mm-hmm. And you take it as being like a negative shadow person, or, you know, like kind of honing in when they're, you know, the going gets evil or dark or bad energy? Or could it be something that appears to be dark but is more so trying to comfort?
And see, that's hard to know because either way, the author was upset. So it's either something that's going to prey upon that or something that's coming in trying to check and see if they're okay.
Sure.
And that there's no way to know with a shadow person.
Yeah. And either way, pretty scary experience.
Yeah.
Nothing you can really do to not make that rather uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for writing in and sharing that story with us. So we really do appreciate it. Hey, that wraps up today's episode. If you like the show, please become an EPP, extra podcast person. That's what keeps this show on the air and the free episodes coming out to you throughout the weekdays. And you get a free bonus episode on the, or a bonus episode on the weekend if you're an EPP. And you get access to all of our bonus episodes as well. More than 50 of them out there for you. Packed with some of our best stories ever. So check that out and help keep our show on the air. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.